We've been focusing our minds upon the all-sufficiency of God. We've been hopping through the New Testament, selecting texts which all say the same thing. God is able. He is able to empathize with our feelings. He is able to be with us through our temptation and turn our temptation into a time of triumph. He is able to deliver us from evil and from the evil that is plotted against us, or better than that, he's able to take us through the evil. God is able to whatever. Nothing is impossible with him. As believers, we are linked and yoked to him. And through that yoking, through that linkage, God intends to take of his ability and channel it into us, and through us manifest his ability. Because he is able, we are enabled. And that's been the theme all summer. It's been refreshing to see the greatness of our God, his majesty, his power. And to know that he is not only concerned about me, about you, but as believers, he's committed himself and his resources to our needs. So that in any circumstance and situation of life, God is able. We, as the recipients of his enabling grace, are enabled. And thus our lives become testimonies or witnesses. You see, it's not so much that I work hard to make God look good. It's that God's goodness, channeled in and through my life by his Holy Spirit, reflects itself in my conduct. And that makes God look good. Now, most of us spend the vast majority of our waking hours at work. That's where we, quote, earn a living, end of quote. We train for that. We go through all kinds of sacrifices in order to achieve success in that arena, whatever it may be. And many of us take great delight in being successful. We feel affirmed because we are successful in the work we are doing. God tells us in his word that he is able in that arena. Here's how he does it. He says that those of us who are saved by grace through faith are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, those good works involve everything we do. So that Paul, writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit, could say to us today, and does say to us, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. He could say, in your employment relationship, don't serve in your job the clock. Don't serve in your job your boss, but rather serve God. In your workplace, do everything that you do for the glory of God, not as pleasing men, but pleasing God, knowing that the reward for what you do in the workplace will be given to you, not in the paycheck, that's a very small part of it, but rather, your reward will come from God. You who used to steal, stop stealing. Rather, work with your hands in that which is good, that you might have to give to him who has need. Now, these references that I'm quoting from the New Testament could be cited over and over and over again. And what it's saying is, what the New Testament is saying is that as children of God, God wants our lives to be reflections of His glory. He wants our works to accomplish His pleasure. He wants us to be engaged in His business so that we become His workmanship. We become His showpiece. We become His witness. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and in everything we do. For the Christian, there is no disconnect. There is no place that I go this week. There is nothing I do this week that is out of the presence of God or absent from the will of God. Everything I do is sacred. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's easy for you to say. I mean, I wish I worked in the church. I wish I was surrounded by only believers or mostly believers. I wish people behaved at my job like people have to behave on the staff here at the church. Well, you make a good point. And that means my job is twice as difficult as yours. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that my job is easier than yours. It doesn't mean that my job was more holy than yours. It doesn't mean that my work is more interesting or more valuable to God than yours. None of that is true. What it means is I've got to get out of the office to meet the people to whom God is seeking to bear witness of His truth. And you don't. You are there in close proximity to the world of unbelievers, to that world system that Satan himself manages with great skill, I might say. You are there facing the temptations, the raw, immediate temptations of this world as this world competes against God. And there you are. It's the place of your major witness. We often talk about our responsibilities of sharing our faith with others. The workplace is where you're going to do it most naturally. As a matter of fact, the workplace is where we're going to do it if we do it at all. Because in the workplace, people are going to see you like you really are. They're going to see you in your unguarded moment. They're going to see your true attitudes, your true values. They're going to listen to your conversation, and they're going to watch how you handle the temptation. And you will witness there, whether you want to or not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is speaking about taking up an offering. That's what he's writing about. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But he uses a marvelous illustration that is most poignant for us this morning. If we want to know what God thinks about our attitudes and actions in the workplace, he uses the illustration of a farmer. And it's that illustration we want to seize this morning, and from it, conclude certain things that will be helpful, I hope, in helping us see more accurately God's ability manifest or revealed or reflected or fleshed out in my life, in my workplace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Now remember, we're trying to learn from the lesson of the farmer here. But this I say, Paul writes, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let every one give, the King James says. But we could just as legitimately put in there, so let everyone or each one sow as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is a giver? A giver is someone who sows, someone who gives away. Like the farmer who reaches into his sack, takes a handful of grain, and throws it out into the air, throws it out on the ground. He is giving the seed. He is distributing the seed. He is casting the seed. That's the whole picture here. Now watch. Let each one of us sow as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What a marvelous passage of Scripture. What the Apostle Paul here is doing, he is saying that our lives in our workaday world can be likened to the farmer. And the first thing we need to decide is to decide. Let everyone so give, live, sow, according as he purposes in his heart. And let me ask you a question. Are you doing in your work-a-day world what you purposed in your heart to do? Have you given serious thought to the motives that led you to the place where you're working? Have you thought about the moral consequences of the job you're doing, good or bad? Or did you just fall into the job, or did you seek the job for not very good motives? So that's where it starts. It starts with the intent of the heart. It starts by me settling that I'm doing what I want to do because I truly believe it's what God gifted me to do. Now, you want me to be able to say to you, and correctly so, that I feel the call of God upon my life to be a pastor. You would expect that. You would demand that, and you ought to. Now let's reverse the question. What is the call of God upon your heart, your life? What has God gifted you to do? And how seriously have you weighed those questions in the selection of your career, your job, your work-a-day world? See, it starts there. God doesn't want us to be sorrowful about our jobs. He doesn't want us to be, as we were reminded last week, I owe, so off to work I go. God doesn't want us going to work under pressure. God wants us to be taking up the work mantle every week, having resolve that that's what God has purposed me to do, to be, to become. And therefore, it is as sacred a calling as anything else in my life. Start there. Secondly, take the attitude that at work, you're not there to get, you're there to give. You're not there to receive, You are there to exchange. You're the wealthy one at your work. You're the endowed one at your work. You're the one who has the resources of God at your disposal at your work, in your job. You're the one who can recognize what others will never see, that God is here at this office, in this room, at this time, that God's Spirit is dwelling inside of me, that anything I need by way of wisdom, by way of judgment, by way of strength, anything I need at any time in the midst of fulfilling my God-appointed job in this workplace, I have the resources of God at my disposal. You're the resourced one. So you don't go to work to get. You go to work to give. First of all, I'm going to work intentionally. I see my job as God's call upon my life. I don't go to get, I go to give. When I enter my workplace, I'm there as the servant of the Most High God, and I'm there to give. Now, the next verse tells us where we get what we give. Because if we go to give, if we go to sow, if we see our work environment as that place where God wants me to take His resources and scatter them, like the farmer does the seed. And if I resolve that I'm going to take God's resources available to me and scatter them liberally, 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 I'm going to give, I'm going to sow, I'm going to be a source of blessing, I'm going to be a source of encouragement. The boss can count on me that I'm going to do my work and do it well, not just because he expects it, but because I'm here on divine mission. I'm here serving the Lord God, and He is my resource. Now, when I decide to do that, then God is able to make all grace abound. Look at that verse again. God is able to make all grace abound so that we, having all sufficiency in all things, will abound unto every good work. There's five fingers worth of promise. God's not forgotten a part of it. There's nothing left out. There's absolutely nothing in your job that God doesn't already have and can't make available to you. That's what that verse says. So as you live, as you sow, as you give, as you go into your work environment as God's servant, determined to be a blessing and to distribute what God has so richly given to you, as you do that, then you're going to experience God's provision in every possible area. God is able to make all grace abound, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, will abound, or out of that abundance, do every good work. That is incredible. Now, Paul then goes on to remind us in this passage that that's just not so much theory. You see there in verse 10, he says, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the eater. Who does that? God does that. That's a reminder that the food that you eat comes from the hand of God. That the energy that you use in your work comes from God. That the talent that you use when you're in your work comes from God. And that God has resourced you, and that God is standing with you, and that God's primary purpose for you in the workplace is to be His sower, so that you will abound unto every good work. And the bottom line is, you read there in that last verse, the bottom line is that through you being enriched in everything, in all liberality, thanksgiving will be caused to God through us. God will receive the thanks, the glory, the worship, the praise of what is accomplished in and through our lives. If your neighbor comes with you here to church, they'd expect you to be on your good behavior. They have the same right to expect me to be on my best behavior on the job, because that's where I sow. Over in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us that this wasn't always easy for him. He talks about how his ministry, how his work for the Lord was interrupted by what he called a thorn in the flesh. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that Paul had received, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Now, when I read that the other day, I thought, you know, that's how a lot of Christians feel about their jobs. Sunday is so delightful. We're home with the family, and Sunday is so pleasant. And yet, when I go to work on Monday, that's a thorn in the flesh. And Paul goes on to describe this thorn in the flesh. He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." He says, three times I asked the Lord to take this thorn away. Here's what God said back to Paul's prayer. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." See, that's the exchange. That's what we're looking for. When we face weakness and face problems and face challenges, what does God do about that? He is able to multiply grace to us. What is grace? Grace is God giving us His strength, manifesting His wisdom, helping us through the problem. You're familiar with the Apollo 13 experience. See how grace was ministered to these guys on the job when they were overwhelmed with problems. See, that's what God does. God doesn't send us on a mission and then abandon us. God knows every resource He's put in your pocket, every resource in your mind, every thought you've ever thought, every experience He's ever taken you through. God is absolutely well informed with what you have on location. And when you run into a problem, a difficulty, when your job becomes a thorn instead of a blessing, what you need to do is do what those astronauts did. Call home. And He is able to make all grace abound to you. Many times that means rearranging things with which you become familiar. Sometimes it means changing whole paradigms for you. God has His reputation attached to your employment. You are His representative. And some of those who meet you and watch you in the workplace may never have another opportunity, a different opportunity, to see the truth and to meet God. God has a lot vested in you. So, Heavenly Father, today, help us to change our thoughts about our work. Help us to see ourselves as intentionally called to the workplace where we serve You. Help us to see that we are there to give, to share. We are sowers. We are to take of the bounty of Your grace and wisdom and strength. We're to resource that into our needs and the needs of the workplace. And then we are to distribute liberally, sowing bountifully, seeking every opportunity to do it right, for the right reason, in the right way. We praise You that You are there with us, that you are the God who is able to make all grace abound. Everything I need for every challenge, in every situation, you've already anticipated and you are willing to supply. So help us as we think about our work to think biblically and then to go into that arena as your servants for Christ's sake. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Can you think of ways that God wants to change your attitude about your work? You think of areas where you need to access God's grace for needs in your workplace. Are you willing to intentionally be a sower of the bounty of God's grace in the midst of your work environment? That's what God desires of us. Our Heavenly Father, the promises we have in you are exceeding abundantly beyond anything we could ask or think. Beyond our imagination, beyond our request, you are sufficient and powerful. You are gracious and kind and wise. No situation on the job, at home, in the community, or in our personal struggles is greater than the resources we have in you. We thank you for the great salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness that is ours through faith in him. And I pray that today you would teach each of us who know him and love him to embrace him. And then in our work assignment from you, live out the fullness of your love and grace and mercy. Take us to work to give. Take us to fulfill the intention of serving you 24/7. Take us to worship and to witness and to be the witness we ought to be. Resource us as you promised you would. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the confidence and delight of our Heavenly Father rest upon us and fill us that we might be a blessing for him in the lives of those around us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.